and welcome to another episode of Cathode Ray Mission. We're watching movies on streaming during the pandemic. That's the theme of the show, I think. Sure. I am Will Scoville in Berkeley, California. With me, as always, from Oklahoma City is Randy Heyer. Hey, Randy.
Howdy, Will.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. We got a fun one today, and this is one of your picks, Randy. And with us to kind of go over it is, he's a member of Chatpile, which is a band that Randy is in. It is Luther Manhole, a.k.a. Griff.
Hello.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Ready to talk about this movie that I thought Jean-Claude Van Damme was in. Turns out he is not.
Sasha Mitchell.
The movie in question is, of course, Kickboxer 2. What is the road back? Colin, the road back. It is 1991. Albert, and I want to mess this up again, Pyun.
I think that's it. I think
yeah.
last
that
time
we he did like Arcade and Nemesis,
Cyborg,
right?
Nemesis,
Cyborg,
which is
Captain America.
This is the the first time we've had a director come back on. So this is the second
universe,
movie of his
man.
That we've done. Yeah. So, Randy, I think this is your pick, right? This is okay. And I gotta tell you something. I've never seen a kickboxer movie. I haven't seen the first
Same.
One.
I also had never seen the first one.
So I'm coming into this a little bit cold. I'm definitely aware of the kickboxer franchise.
Uh-huh.
I was aware of it in 91 when this movie came out.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen it. So,
well, let me spin you a little tale about my history of this movie. This is the first movie I watched with my mom's complete consent, knowing that it was rated R, that I watched. I remember I called her like a responsible little boy and was like, is it okay? It's rated R for violence and language. She's like, yeah, it's fine or whatever. And I watched it, and I can date this by saying another little piece of trivia. On that exact same day, I went and saw A League of Their Own in theaters.
Wow.
Immediately after I watched Kickboxer 2, which my friend had taped off of like Cinemax or HBO at his house. So I loved it. I was watching it now. It is a total like Albert Pyun is so awesome because even I watched Cyborg recently too. It's all his movies are like kid logic, where it's like.
Oh, the first you mentioned this is like one of the first R-rated movies you had full like permission to watch. Like if that was for me, I would have been disappointed because I felt like I didn't like look up really anything about the movie. I wanted to go in pretty cold. And like I honestly the first time like his buddy who like his friend who makes the ultimate sacrifice, he says the F word at one point. And I'm like, oh, this movie isn't rated G. It's like 45 minutes in. I thought this movie was like it's so light and like rated G for so much of the movie. And then but then when they fight, they're just getting fucking pummeled in the face over and over again. So
gory.
Over the top.
Yeah.
It's like so unnecessary. The amount of kicks to the face. It's like there's such a fucking weird whiplash between like it's like this weird kind of kid logic movie. And then people like Goro from Mortal Kombat is just like.
Which Goro is 100% inspired by.
And the actor who plays Shang Tsung from I thought I had a lot of Mortal Kombat vibes in this movie overall. Also, that's. I feel like there, some of that era of action movie that's just.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it. But yeah, that's very funny you mentioned the rated R thing because, like, I had that in my mind. As soon as they started saying fuck and then you see some blood, I'm like, oh, wow, this movie actually. Okay, I guess this is rated R.
Yeah.
This is a very weird movie that I.
So
it does start out with him, like, at the gym and he's, like, talking to all the kids and they're like, gee, golly, wow.
Suns will rise. Just like.
Dude, it is so awesome. It's like the most like movie-ass movie ever. Like where it's like, it's like when
the,
in,
you know the plot of the movie right from the beginning. Like, I feel like as soon as like the guy in this where Peter Boyle comes in or whatever, it's just like, okay, we know what this fucking movie is. But
It's like, yes, exactly. But like, okay, so like the opening scene is so awesome. It's like, and they like, it's the thing that they bring back at the end of the movie where this girl, and I was joking about how he's like a pedophile, and this girl, it's like, he's like kind of a Epstein type figure, and she's bringing in kids.
She's the cowboy, just wrangling.
You could interpret it like, it's a movie they would never make it this way now, where like, he's the king of the children, kind of. In the community, like the wayward youth. But this girl is bringing a young Brian Austin Green to him.
Wearing a King Diamond shirt.
Yes, which I mean,
I wrote that down.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
And like, she's like, do your trick. And he's like, oh, the river, the rock in the river or whatever. And then she just has like a bandana on hand and hands it to him. And there's something about Sasha Mitchell. He's so handsome, but like, he's kind of one of those, he has Keanu Reeves.
Oh, dude. I was going to say, yes. To him,
you know,
that was my notes that I had written down was insane accent Keanu ? Yeah. That's the note that I wrote down. I don't know what he's doing with his voice. I like him in this, but like he doesn't talk like a person. Like he's like doing like a LA like kind of like Latino accent kind of, but then like also is like a surfer guy, but he looks like a male model, like Captain America. Like, I just don't.
He's like extremely attractive. Yeah. And his hair is like 50s inspired. It's strange. And he's not a good actor, but I love him. You do love him. And we should all note now that he played Cody in Step by Step famously.
Okay.
And then his career derailed when he was exposed for beating his wife.
Oh, okay.
Yikes.
It's the truth.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he also, he plays, I believe it's David Sloan of this Eric Kurt and David Sloan, the Sloan brothers. He plays David Sloan in Kickboxer 2-4. And I also, before this gets away from me, want to say that Tong Po is a man wearing like prosthetic on his face. That's giving
him very obvious
Asian face. Like he is like an Arab, he's like French, but I think he's like of Middle Eastern descent or something. He's appears with his normal face in Lionheart. He's clearly like a Van Damme friend. It's Michelle Kwasi. I have no idea how to like pronounce his name. Anyway,
I want to try and think if I can guess what the plot of Kickboxer 1 is based off of this movie. So I feel like it's a movie about two kickboxers who die. The movie ends with both of them dying and losing.
I'll say one of them dies at the beginning and then the other one dies at the end.
That's what it seems like to me, is that one brother dies in a tragic kickboxing accident to Tong Po, and then in an attempt to avenge his brother, I assume Jean-Claude Van Damme is the surviving brother who then fights Tong Po and also dies.
Okay. Here's what's super baffling about this movie. You guys are close, but way off at the same time. Like the revelation that Tong Po shot Jean-Claude Van Damme is only in this movie. And then like replaced him. Jean-Claude Van Damme is like, it's like you couldn't even get him to like be in the pictures and stuff.
No.
And at the end, the bullet hole in his head. But like, so that's in this movie only where, but okay. In Kickboxer 1, Eric Sloan is the best kickboxer in America. But then his hubris takes him to Thailand to fight Tong Po, but they fight American kickboxing and Muay Thai are different in that like Muay Thai involves elbows and knees and shit, which just plays into this movie too. And so he's not ready for that. And basically Tong Po like cripples him for life. Like he's in a wheelchair. does not die, which that made it baffling. For this movie, it's like, well, Eric is alive. Even if he killed Van Damme, it's like you couldn't get the like shitty actor that played his brother. But that's the first act of Kickboxer 1. And then Kurt Sloan, played by Jean-Claude Van Damme, is then convinced to become the greatest kickboxer of all time and almost murder Tong Po in the ring, but not quite, clearly. So anyway.
It's just... yeah, so he dies... He doesn't die in the movie. So that's just...
He's victorious. It's just like, they just couldn't get him back, and they were like...
Great, okay.
So instead of recap, just being like, this guy is playing the same role, it's like, no.
He died.
Tong Po shot him in the face.
You are the weakest of the Sloan brothers. I think it was in the line at the end.
Did you watch shitty action movies like this at all when you were kids, like American Ninja or Blind Fury or any of those kinds of movies?
I haven't seen those. I mean, I've watched lots of action movies, you know. I liked, you know, Broken Arrow and...
Loved Broken Arrow.
You know, I liked Bloodsport and, you know, Mark for Death, you know, those type of movies. But, yeah, I just didn't get around to Kickboxer for some reason. And, yeah, when you said we were going to do the second one... I really wanted to make it a point to not watch the first one first. Just like, let me just see what this is all about. And I didn't hate it. I will say that I actually was laughing out loud a whole bunch in this movie, which I don't think was intentional. Like, the music choices in this movie are so fucking hilarious. It's just like the sad, like cheesy synth rock over his burned down kickboxing dojo. And just like, just the nonstop slow motion kicks to the face. I was just like, putting my hands on my face like Macaulay Culkin, just like, I just could not understand. It was a weird choice for most of the fights to be fully in slow motion and they go on for too long.
There's long stretches of the movie that are just in slow motion. It takes on a dreamlike, surreal quality. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's kind of an art film. Like, and his his choices, the shots he's very inspired by like noir, but even like straight up like German expression. Like, there's like a shot where it's like at the top with like the fan. He's like in the bottom of the frame, and the fan is like the shadow of the fan is on Sasha Mitchell or whatever. And it's just like, I mean, Albert Pyun is like really like swinging for the fences on this. And like, that's why kind of the reasons I fucking love him. You know,
I feel like they really made it work with what they had. I don't know what the budget was on this movie, but it seems like a cheap movie.
Yeah.
But they made it work with, like, you know, there's just so many opportunities for action to look bad if you just don't do the cuts right and if you don't choreograph it right. And I think there is some of that here. I don't think it's amazing action, but I feel like they made it work with what they had, and it is like brutal. Like it's more brutal than you think it would be, judging by the first hour and like 10 minutes of the movie, because it takes about 3/4 of the movie before the plot starts. Actually, like when you actually see like what the movie is about, is like it's almost over. Strange.
I will say there is a lot more fighting in this movie than there was in another movie that we reviewed called Real Steel, which is a movie about robot fighting, which surprisingly does not have a whole lot of robot fighting in it. But there's another thing I was going to bring up, and I totally forgot what the fuck it was about this movie. A kid dies.
I love that.
Big time. He sure does die.
What's crazy is this dude is defeated in the ring, and then he personally goes and burns this dude's dojo down and shoots him. And he doesn't make sure he's dead. He just leaves. It's like, it's insane. That is one of the big kid logic moments of the movie. It's like, and then the guy is mad and he goes and burns the guy's gym down. The guy sees him. And it's like, it's crazy that Peter Boyle must have been a real low point in his career. Yeah. He's like, let's do
this.
He's
the only person I recognized in it. Yeah. Peter Boyle.
Around the same time, James Earl Jones also agreed to be in Best of the Best. So I think there was just maybe like residual Karate Kid prestige on this kind of project.
There's,
people were like, maybe, yeah, you know.
There's some definite Miyagi-Do versus Cobra Kai shit going on in this movie too, with especially with his buddy who's like training and taking the steroids, and that all those shots of that gym, like
that's Rocky IV-esque shit where it's like I work in the park and he's like in this cool Michael Mann gym.
That's like, speaking of Michael Mann, not since Scott. Michael Mann have I seen someone film L.A. in such a cold way as this movie. Yeah. This whole movie is like blue and blue neon, and it feels like you're in Berlin, but it's fucking they're in South L.A.
I love
like,
it. It's cool.
I like it too, but it's such a weird. It's like I don't know. Yeah. I just did not expect it to. It just looks like they should all be wearing winter coats like this entire movie, but they're just like on the beach. Like I don't know how he managed to do that.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I before I forget, just I don't know why it popped in my head. My favorite scene of the whole movie is in the final fight with Tong Po when Tong Po, the second to last fight with Tong Po when Tong Po kills his friend. He just throws the ref. He just puts him in the torture act and just throws him out of the ring.
It becomes pro wrestling.
I was laughing so loud, dude. I'm like, I screamed. He killed the ref. Well, okay. I yelled it to myself.
That is speaking of the kid logic of the movie, that is the most like, there's okay, this whole time, it's like kind of. We were talking about, me and Will did a movie a couple weeks ago called Massacre Mafia Style, which our guest Chalky described as Godfather Sploitation. So the whole time I watched this, I was thinking, this is like Rocky Sploitation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Karate Kid, too, where there's even
absolutely.
Down to there being a monologue about his dead wife or whatever. But like the kid logic, even down to the casting. All right, I'm going to go on another tangent before I get to what I want to get to the fight and stuff and that whole thing. But it's so crazy. Sasha Mitchell could be playing a senior in high school at this age in his career, and they keep calling him old man and stuff.
Yeah. He looks like he's 20.
Yeah, dude. And then he calls the trainer old man, and I was like, how old is this guy? He was like 42 when he made this movie. It's like... Holy shit, that's like 6 years away from me. I don't know. That was crazy to me. Anyway, it's so there's like this whole through line of his kid who's up and coming. Peter Boyle comes in and is like, I'm forming the American Kickboxing League and I want you in it. And he's like, no, I only fight for honor, but I don't fight anymore. I just have a gym with kids. I'm like a weird Mickey meets Fagin or whatever, like kind of character.
I've got a cot down in the basement where I let some kids sleep.
Oh, so
where they can burn alive in tragic accidents.
It's a reverse Freddy Krueger type situation.
This movie also does one of my favorite things in dumb movies where there's like a very niche thing that everyone on Earth seems to be obsessed with. Because it seems like kickboxing is booming. The guy is driving a fucking Corvette. He's got the slit glasses. Like, being a kickboxer, it seems to be the most lucrative job you could maybe have in the world.
Yes.
In this reality. And then it's filmed in an arena that seems to be filmed at the local YMCA. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's to its credit, they have real people in those stands. Like,
yeah, no, they do.
They film it strategically, but I was like, damn, they really got the extras out for this movie. You know,
like again, they did the best with what they could for sure. And I had a fun time watching, but I just always love that when it's just like you see a movie about like rollerblading and it seems like everyone on Earth is just like the most obsessed with rollerblading you can be. Like, this is one of those, I feel like.
Oh, it is.
Like, everyone's just the United Kickboxing Association, and it's just, you know, it seems like it's on primetime television. And
to be fair, they're kind of talking about MMA, though, you know? It sort of, like, predicts
predates
MMA. Yeah. But, anyway, so this protege ends up going into the ring. And this is, from here, the movie just cooks with so much gas. If you're into, if you're ready for how absurd it is, it's so good. Because, like, he goes in to fight some dude, and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, so-and-so is not going to be here to fight. Instead, we have Tong Po from Thailand. And, like, the scariest dude ever comes out. And speaking of Mortal Kombat, the guy who plays Shang Tsung in the movie.
Yeah, he's the...
an Albert Pyong regular, who is also a Nemesis, a movie we covered on here. His name is Carrie... I don't know, his... I need to learn his name. I don't know. He's a wonderful character actor, but yeah.
He's good in this.
He's super scary good. He's like, basically, he's introduced halfway through the movie as like the real bad guy who controls Peter Boyle like a puppet. And so they're like, instead, yeah, so this guy isn't fighting.
That's the most wild scene in the movie.
Instead, where it's
like everything's going insane.
Yeah. Instead, it'll be this guy, Tong Po from Thailand.
It's an action. It's Goro from Mortal Kombat. And he's going to rip your fucking arms off and kill the ref.
And there's like a point in the middle of it where it's like, no way would this fight keep. Like, this guy cannot stand up. Like, he can't see.
Kicked so many times in the face.
And they. But the whole fight is in slow motion. It takes on this weird dreamlike quality. This is where the movie takes flight for me. And I'm just like, I am so into it. And yeah, Tong Po, the ref is like, the fight's over. And he goes, no. And he picks the ref up and throws him.
Just throws and then him out of the ring.
And then he murders the dude in front of everyone. And it's just like...
and doesn't go to jail, and then they fight later in the ring that's still bloody.
Well, that's the best. That's the best.
So not only is it bloody, is that they haven't picked up like the bags of peanuts and popcorn and
well, no,
and shit.
Because he's in the locker room, and the dude shows up, and he goes, "You will fight Tong Po in 2 hours," and he's like, "Okay." And then it cuts to them in like a burger shop or something, and then it's like. Literally 2 hours
later. Dip his hands in the glass.
Dip their hands in glass and fight in the same place with the blood. That's kid logic. Like, that's
I actually love
supreme kid logic.
Like, I loved that there wasn't like a, if it was just pure Rocky, it would be like another big promoted fight and it would be like a big glorious victory. But no, it just happens with like. No, is they're just because I was looking at the I pressed pause on Hulu. It's like there's only 10 minutes left of this fucking movie. Like, what? Okay, how is this possibly going to resolve? And it's like, nope, you're just getting right back into the fight. You're just going out of the ring. We haven't even cleaned up yet. And we're just going to have a glass fight. Muay Thai style where we're just like elbowing each other in the face and then it just ends.
And they're like, for hundreds of years, this is how they did it. And they're dipping their hands into glass and stuff. What do you think about that, Will, when that shit happened?
I don't know, man. I mean, it was like... I was also like, how long is left in this movie? There must be like another half hour, 45 minutes. Oh, 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, all right. And then they just kind of did it. And I'm like, well, that was great. That was, I mean, I will say that it like ends right at the hour and a half mark. It's just like.
Perfect.
And what you're saying about like all the slow-mo fights and stuff, it's like, not only do you have that, you have the long montages with the music like blasting over them. So it's like,
old
okay,
music videos.
You know, stretch it out a little bit, stretch it out.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, this movie is 90 minutes, and it is maybe 70 minutes of movie. But those 70 minutes are pretty fun. It's definitely stretched. There's some definite, pensive moments with weird music over it. And they're really stretching it out.
Have you seen Cyborg?
I haven't seen that one. Like, that's another one I just haven't seen. Like, I was aware of it, and I just never got around to watching it.
It's like 85 minutes, and it has this fucking flashback that they keep using over and over again, just showing you pieces of it, and then showing you, like, the full, like, you know, it's just like, It's clearly meant to stretch the movie out and shit, and it's still like not even, it doesn't even hit 90 minutes.
Wow.
That's a trademark of Pyun, dude. And I love, hey, he's an auteur. He's a truly, I love a trash auteur, you know, yeah. Somebody who works way below the level of critical fame or success with no awards or anything to show, but is still completely individualistic. Their thumbprint is all over everything. Steve Breen is an extreme example. Are you familiar with the works of Breen?
The Breeniverse.
But also like Full Moon.
Band?
Carl's Band like, stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which they did Doll Man together.
Yes.
Which is a Carl's Band Pune movie.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you and I Arcade watched it together also, a couple years ago, Randy, and I was actually a little let down by Arcade just because I saw, because you or someone had like a DVD that had like all these, the company trailers.
We watched Blood Dolls and it, their discs are famously packed and we watched like the special features.
Oh, and the arcade trailer is sick. Like I thought it was just going to be like a full movie of like Windows screensavers. Like I thought that's what it was going to be, but it really just kind of is that for like 10 minutes and it's kind of just a shitty kid drama for most of it. But, I want to check out more of his stuff.
You got to watch Nemesis and Cyborg.
Yeah, Nemesis is great.
I really want to watch Doll Man since that is Charles Band and him.
Yeah.
Well,
it seems real bad.
That there's a sequel to that, Doll Man versus Demonic Toys, where it really is half hour of the movie is flashback to Doll Man. Half hour of the movie is a flashback to Demonic Toys. And the last half hour is like resolving some. Yeah, you know, it might not even be 30 minutes, like 20 minutes or something.
And really has the thing he likes to do, which is make movies with toys, huh? Like that really just, he just likes wants little to make things. Doll movies.
Yeah. And he made dolls. Like one of the things that Band did that's like really fucking cool is he worked with Stuart Gordon and gave him kind of a platform to make some films. And they made Dolls together with when Band was doing Empire. But then when Full Moon came about, they did Pit and the Pendulum. Which, that's a movie I watched only this past year for the first time. Have you guys seen that movie? It's got Lance Henriksen. I mean, it's based on Poe, obviously, but only, like, loosely. And it's Stuart Gordon's, like, intense, perverted vision, you know? And Lance Henriksen is probably at his most unhinged. Like, if you like Lance Henriksen, it's the best villain. He has, like, an insane Spanish Inquisitor, like, monk hair, like a crazy haircut, and like he's just off the rails insane. But Band produced that movie. It's a Full Moon movie, and Castle Freak is another like incredible
From Beyond, another Stuart Gordon Band movie.
That would have been the Empire era before Full Moon, but Band has a long history, and the Band family too, not just Charles, like Richard. And whatever. And the dude, his nephew or his son-in-law is in like the Colleen or that horrible band. It's like, I'm not trying. Like, I don't know. They have like some horrible song, you know?
This go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I got to go see Charles Band like before I moved to California. He came to Norman and he had one of his like roadshow things where he was like auctioning off all the puppets. This was around the time
puppets.
Yeah, this was around the time that like the Ginger Dead Man came out. So I think he had one of those. Nice. There, but he definitely had some Puppet Master puppets and
Blood
out there.
Dolls.
Yeah,
that's the big one I've seen from him is Blood Dolls.
Blood Dolls is
a wild movie,
a masterpiece, dude. It's so crazy. But
I love
it's so crazy
Puppet Master. I love, 2 and 3 are pretty good. Sorry, go ahead, Will.
I love Head of the Family. That's kind of a smaller one that he did under a different name, I think. But it's so stupid.
It
it's a giant head who's smart.
I think I saw the trailer for that in the Blood Doll DVD trailer collection. Yeah, because I remember the giant head guy.
Which Blood Dolls is
also
and
has
the tiny head.
Yes.
Said. Yeah.
He's goombified like in Super Mario Brothers movie.
And then Shrunken Heads was another movie. God.
Oh, that's Richard Elfman who directed that one.
Oh, really?
Danny Elfman's brother who did The Forbidden Zone.
Yeah, and Oingo Boingo movie, right? That's a fucking interesting movie.
Man, yeah, we talked about that
high school.
Will, we should get on the Full Moon streaming service and do a Full Moon.
You know, I think a bunch of them
full
are on
Moon Plus.
They're on Tubi. They have a whole bunch of Full Moon. Yeah.
We should
check them out.
Full Moon shit.
Hell yeah.
Little Tubi continued. On this, but
to be continued, TUBI.
Yeah, to be continued. I want to do Skyscraper. You ignited my interest. You brought that up.
There's another Anna Nicole Smith movie that I watched, and I forgot about it already. It was I forgot the name of it already. But she had a bigger role in that one. It's still bad, but
I know that. I couldn't find it, but like I know if I do a little deep research, there is this like a history of Skyscraper being Frankenstein together from like a few different things or something.
That's so wild. That's so funny.
But anyway, Kickboxer 2, I'm glad to have shown this to you guys. It reminds me of like it's just the most like in Barton Fink when he's like, it's just a boxing picture where you got a kid. A lady, a boxer, you know, it's like, it is the most just like, they take Rocky 4, 5, Kickboxer. There's also parts when if you ever get around to watching Kickboxer 1, you'll notice things in it that are just callbacks to the first movie and shit. My favorite part of this movie as a kid and now is, it's like one of the most insane parts where he's just like, tying a rope and he's not answering him. He's like, do you have good hold of the rope? Now look down there. And he just pushes him off.
Kicks him off the bed. And the lady's like, oh, LA is just so dangerous these days. It's like, what the fuck?
And he's like,
he just kicked him off of, it's like a 5-story building. It's not even like, it's like an apartment building.
It's pretty crazy.
The guy who plays his sensei, what a weird character, because he's like kind of obviously kind of doing like a Miyagi thing, but like I think he might have dementia. I think it's kind of implied he has dementia too.
It's crazy that he's so young and he's playing like an old man or whatever.
He doesn't look that old.
Something that's
he's
crazy
just balding.
Is that he is an American actor using an accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a thing that a lot of people make.
Pat Morita.
So what's his name who played Miyagi, right?
He was Pat Morita. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a sad truth of being a character actor who isn't white. As long as a lot of time they just make you do a voice, I guess.
Indeed.
You know?
Indeed. Right. It's way more like in this movie, it's like, I mean, it is what it is, but in the first movie, you've got Van Damme playing an American.
And what is his justification in this movie for having the accent? Because he usually finds a way to justify it somehow. Do you remember if he has one? Does he say, like,
I
was
like
special
in
forces?
Or sure, they straight up do not explain. Like, some
why
of them
he sounds like he's Swiss.
It's hard to get it. They get, you know, I get them confused and stuff. Like, and the best one is Lionheart. That's also available on Amazon Prime. If this has piqued you guys' interest in watching movies about fighting and stuff, like Lionheart, he's in like the French Legion. He's like French, like in the movie. It's just like perfect, you know. And he has to come to America because his brother's been killed, and he needs to support his brother's widow and his brother's child. And the only way to do that is to get into the underground fighting scene.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So,
wow.
Anyway, I think we should go to the round. That sounds like a recommendation. We should probably funnel it on down into the big roundup.
Take a break and head to the roundup. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie. Have you ever endured a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
Hey everybody, my name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like what kind of ridic are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay, all from our very real hot tub.
Oh yeah, very real, not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
All right, we're back, and it's time to give the big roundup treatment to Kickboxer 2, : The Road Back. And we're going to start with our special guest, Luther Manhole. Griff, on a 1 to 5-star scale, what did you give Kickboxer 2, The Road Back?
I would give it a 3.5, actually, where it's like, I feel like if it, I don't know. At the beginning of the movie, I'd say for the first act of the movie, I was a little bored. I will say that. Like I said, I was deceived into thinking for some reason I was just so shocked that they started swearing and blood happened, because it did just feel kind of like a Disney movie for the first like beginning of it. Like a kid's movie or something. But it really starts getting weird and like, there's just certain things about the fight scenes that just seem so illogical in a good way to me, like it made it interesting instead of it just being so generic. And I just laughed out loud so many times at this movie, which again, probably not intended, but to me, I had a really good time watching it. This would be a definite movie that back, you know, if we ever get back to a time in which we are allowed to be in the same room watching movies with friends, like putting on Kickboxer 2 could be a fun movie to watch with some friends, because like, I want, when you see Tong Po throw the ref out of the ring, kill him. I'm choosing to believe that he killed the ref and got away with murder there. I just want to shout out loud and have other people cheer, 'cause it was just so fucking stupid in the best way. So yeah, it's definitely, it was a 3.5 for me. It was just so, it hit the, I don't know, I did just watch like Creed 2 last week. So I've had like fighting movie brain lately. And so it kind of like scratched the itch, and it was just, I don't know. It was stupid in the way that I like stupid action movies to be stupid.
Me so, too. Hell
so
yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
Cool. Randy, what do you got?
Well, it should be no surprise that I love this movie. I realize it's like incredibly fucking dumb. It's super stupid. My girlfriend watched it with me and she was like, it was like a torturous experience for her, I think. Like she got no joy out of like, I mean, I think some of the dumb things that happen, such as Tong Po. And then like, I mean, I tried to start just roasting the movie to make it more fun for her to watch. And it was fun to do that. It's easy. Speaking to what Griff was saying about how it'd be a lot of fun to watch it with people. It's a movie that offers you up easy home runs. Like, you know, you can just take swings at it. And it's like, it's so goofy and strange, but there is something beautiful about Albert Pyun and his filmmaking technique and what he's trying to bring you, even in this movie, even if he fails in his storytelling, like in terms of script and like directing his actors to do good performances and stuff. He is achieving something in the way that it looks. There's a lot of times where they'll have a conversation And they're in this crazy backdrop where there's like this huge thing that says like topless ladies or something, and all these wires and like all this traffic and stuff. And he just picks, he's very mindful of putting his people in cool places and stuff. And he gets a lot of cool, and the fights have a lot of cool close-ups. And it does, it adds a super weird, dreamy quality to, by having it be all slow motion. Like, it's super trip. It's just, it's awesome. It's a good movie to, you know, maybe if you are of age and you'd like to smoke a little bit of weed, like, and watch this movie, it's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
me too. I mean, I give this movie 4 stars. I liked it a lot. I know it's stupid, but for what it is, it's a high caliber film, I think.
I don't know what it was just about the score that made me laugh so hard, but like just every single time there was music in this movie, I
the music legitimately
laughed out loud.
Yeah, it's really
like, ding, ding, ding. It's too hopeful sounding and like
yes, the lyrics at the beginning of that first song, "Suns will set and suns will rise," it's just like it just kept saying. I was like, "What this movie, man?"
Well, for me, this movie is very cheap, but you know, in talking about Barton Fink, this is absolutely the writer slash director who will give you exactly what the studio wants. He may not be the artistic guy, but you know, you needed a sequel to Kickboxer. He gave you a sequel to Kickboxer. And you know, it is some of the stuff, as silly as it is still very interesting. Some of it looks okay. And at every moment when I thought it was going to turn into a message about, you know, keeping faith in Jesus Christ, it didn't go that way because it does very much have a feel of like, you know, there's a big, it's a Christian movie. It's a Christian martial arts movie. It didn't go that route and ended up being way juicier and bloodier than that. So with all that, I want to give this one a 3-star rating. Big 3 stars.
I do just want to say that I am looking, so I'm looking at the cast and crew for this movie, and the writer of this movie is not Pyun, it's David S. Goyer, who wrote The Dark Knight, Dark yeah. Knight Rises, Batman Begins, Blade, Blade 2.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, I had no idea that the guy who wrote Arcade and Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys also wrote The Dark Knight and,
yep.
and Jumper. Like, this guy did a lot of stuff, including
he's huge.
Kickboxer 2, The Road Back.
Well, it just goes to show you, you know, there's reasons why this movie is super good, a cut above.
Yeah, the script.
All right, well, Luther, what recommendations do you have? If I loved Kickboxer 2, The Road Back, and I was like, Luther, what's a good movie they owe us alike based on this?
I mean, not to be the most just watch Rocky. I mean, or yeah, like watch Rocky, watch either of those two new Creed movies. I've been, you know, we've been talking about Rocky, you and I, lately. I love those movies. And, you know, I guess if you like this movie, it is more in like the camp era of it, or like the camp side of this type of stuff, but I don't know, watch fucking Mark for Death or something. Like, that's a good one.
Yeah,
I didn't get into a ton of like Jean-Claude Van Damme was kind of my blind spot for this period of, even though, you know, he was, other than like Street Fighter, which I've seen because I've for some reason seen every video game movie, this is better than Street Fighter, I would say.
Oh yeah,
for Street sure. Fighter. But yeah, I don't know. Watch Rocky. This movie is kind of just doing Rocky, but like in a really weird, a really childlike weird way.
Yeah.
That is also just so bloody. I don't know. It's a very weird movie, but yeah, one of those, I guess.
I would like to recommend Best of the Best 1 and 2. if anyone has seen those. These are, because this is a movie, as I mentioned before, I saw this when I was like, I don't know. When did League of Their Own play in theaters? I want to say I'm like 9 years old, but I might be like 8 maybe. Is when I first saw this. And like in rapid succession, I saw American Ninja 1, 2, Best of the Best, and Best of the Best 2. And like even like No Retreat, No Surrender. Is that the one where Van Damme is the bad guy? Like all the just like karate, any karate movie I could get my hands on or anything involving ninjas or fighting. And then of course this grew into Seagal and all that kind of stuff. But like, especially just like, cause then I remember after watching this, we watched Kickboxer 1 and then 3 came out on video. I've still to this day never seen 4. My interest must have moved on at that point, you know, even though it's probably like a year later. But when you're a kid, a year feels like 10 years with the amount of information you soak in. But I would just like to recommend all the Best of the Best movies, all the Kickboxer movies, just as primer, and American Ninja, and then move into like Blood Fist, No True Retreat, No Surrender, and then like all of the dudes, everybody gets like an at bat basically if you look deep in filmographies. And a lot of these movies are being restored and released. Like there's a Bolo Young, who's like the bad guy in Bloodsport, and then he's in some other movies too. He has a couple movies where he's the star, and those have been restored, you know, by MVD. So like you can kind of dig deep these days and get into like, you know, that kind of shit. I'm very into it. When the pandemic is lifted, I'm going to be doing this more of that at the theater and stuff, like hosting nights where we show movies exclusively like that and stuff. So
there's just so many karate movies in this time period.
Yeah.
Like for me as a kid, like the Three Ninja movies were like,
oh yeah,
because those were like, you know what, rated PG or whatever.
Yeah,
but like when I was a kid, like especially the first one, but then the second one too, where they go to Japan. I like vividly remember those movies. I don't know if they're good. I mean, they're kids' movies, but
yeah,
it was just everyone had like ninja brain in 1991 for some reason. I don't know how it happened.
Ninja Turtles came out when I was like in second grade or something, and it was like. Overnight,
I was obsessed.
Overnight, yeah. Everyone was like, yeah. And then Mortal Kombat, when that came out, I was in middle school. It was like, I have a memory of going to Whitewater and they had a Mortal Kombat there. And it was the first time I'd seen it. I had read all about it. And it was the first time I'd actually seen it. And I was like hung out in the arcade to watch people play it, you know, and just like, oh my God.
The first one I saw was in a Round Table Pizza in California with my cousins.
Wow.
Mesmerized also.
I was like, I was about to say, where the hell did you see a Round Table Pizza in Oklahoma?
It was in California. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the first time I played Mortal Kombat was on the Genesis on a friend's home. A friend had a Genesis and I played it over there because I was not allowed to play Mortal Kombat on my Super Nintendo. My mom would not let me get that game.
Nintendo 2, that was like the clean version with the sweat.
Yeah, like the Genesis version was the one that actually had the blood and stuff. Mm. And yeah, the Super Nintendo version, like a lot of Nintendo ports were pretty scrubbed clean.
Mm-hmm.
I was absolutely the kid that had the violent fighting game. I was yeah. so into that kind of stuff. And which is crazy looking back, thinking like I never did karate or any martial art or anything. It was more just about having sticks and beating shit up in the backyard and then watching movies, you know, and like just like, you know, I don't know, kicking stuff and never like learning about any like the discipline of it, though. It would be good to know, you know, it's like piano lessons or anything. It's like, yeah, well.
Yeah, I should have learned a way to defend myself for when the water wars happen in 20 years. But, you know, like...
I know. Let's all, you know, we could just
make
like,
a pact.
Yeah, let's make a pact. In the next 3 years, let's learn a martial art. Will, are you disciplined in any of the arts?
I was a Boy Scout until I was 19. That's about as far as any of that stuff goes. But martial arts, nope.
I know a lot about Dragon Ball Z, if that counts. You know, I've seen all of that. It's
yeah. I don't know if that's going to mean shit when the fucking the big day comes or whatever.
And I'm having to trade gas for water.
You're going to definitely need to know a keto, you know.
No, you got to you must tell me the plot of episode whatever of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, when
you'll become a storyteller.
Recite the Cell Saga to children who never got the chance to see it.
Dude, that is truly, I think about that sometimes. It's if that is valued, if I'm in a position where that can be of value, that will be my biggest thing I can trade. Is I remember the plot to all these movies.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about him. You know, please let me live in your
home. Become the new Homer.
Yeah.
Just just the new, just going back to ancient Greece where you have to tell stories.
Yeah, I'm transcribing Mrs. Doubtfire, the fathers.
In oil on a fucking
shit. Yeah.
Carved out spirit of Halloween and
cave painting of I don't know, some stupid ass movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off,
the plot to Kickboxer 2.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
In a Toys R Us.
Yeah. Kickboxer 2. What a terrific movie. Anyway.
Cool.
Are we good on recommending?
Yeah.
You recommend anything, Will?
I think so. Did I?
I don't think
I don't really have anything. I think we went over enough. Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap.
Luther Manhole, what have you got to plug?
Chat file. It's the noise rock sensation taking the nation by storm. That's probably. I probably shouldn't be talking about taking the nation by storm in January 2021.
In a positive way.
In a positive way. Chatpile.bandcamp.com and chatpileband on Instagram. That's about all I have other than Twitter, at Waluigi, Waluija, like a Ouija board.
It's more Waluija.
Where you can see me tweet about what color the Grinch's cum is, or about Metal Gear Solid. That's about all I tweet about. So, cool. That's about it.
Randy, what you got?
Not much, Big Will. I hope, everyone's staying well. Wearing masks still. I'm assuming this isn't going to come out in 9 months from now or whatever. I mean, hopefully
I might still wear masks even after this is all over.
Yeah,
I think it's maybe good to do when you're in.
We're going
to
see a lot more people just wearing them when they're sick after all this.
Which is good.
It is. You know?
I can't believe we went so long just I have a cold. I'm going to go ride the bus.
But at the same time, I long to sit at a table with people I know and talk about things. Have this conversation, saying?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that is, but I hope everyone's taking the precautions so we can move to that swiftly. I know they're not. I know. whenever this comes out, if it's 3 weeks from now, some other apocalyptic crack.
We keep,
and
I don't know.
The foundation of society has formed, What?
We do these every 2 or 3 weeks, and it always seems something big happens in between. It's just man, the last time we recorded that hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
GameStop didn't Reddit and GameStop didn't destroy the economy.
Yeah. Ever. I bet in 2-3 weeks or whatever, that'll be a what? Oh, yeah, that happened. People, that'll be well, forgotten that, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, just, stay strong, wear your mask, love your family, love your friends, keep hating cops, be critical of cops, be critical of, people in power always.
Cool.
You know,
for me,
listen to chat pile.
For me, SepDoc podcast for documentary reviews and talks with filmmakers. Nerd Rage, The Great Debates, which is a comedy debate show. It comes out every week. Check it out wherever you find podcasts. And then every 2 weeks or so, Talkies on Twitch, Talkies Show, Talkies SF. It's a free show. We used to do it live. We do it on Twitch now. We have a lot of cool people who are coming on / have been on now that everyone is at home and we can do it from Zoom. We're having folks from television come on to our show. It's really amazing. So check that out. Yeah, and that's about it. Thank you all for coming and talking about Kickboxer 2.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Griff, thank you for coming on. You know, little peek behind the curtain. We've done three of these in a row now, and we're about to shove off. I'm going to eat some lunch and enjoy the rest of my weekend, and I hope you all enjoy the rest of your week.
Absolutely.
Till next time, I'll see you all later.
See you then.